Our most beautiful Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this day, the songs that we've shared, the fellowship that we have had. We celebrate and rejoice in that your grace is in this room, supernal and eternal from you. Oh, Lord our God, thank you for all that you have done for us. And now, dear Lord, as we turn our hearts, mind, and our attention to your holy word, Father God, please speak and speak clearly. Let this time be beautiful, meaningful. We love you. In your son's name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as I've mentioned for the last couple of weeks, as we have been starting this study in the book of Ephesians, that we were doing something different at the beginning of every sermon. Does anybody remember what that is? That's right. Do we have a volunteer to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14? If someone finds it and they want to, please just stand and go. Thank you, Brother Bill. Amen. And may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. You heard it there, brothers and sisters. You heard it mentioned that in him you were sealed. And you've been given a promise, a sign, a guarantee of your inheritance in the Holy Spirit. God has blessed us. He has drawn near to us through his Son. And through his Son we have drawn near to the Holy Spirit. We are a people who now as Christians, we walk, we talk, we live with our Lord. And all God's children said, now, in regards to this, the title of this morning's sermon, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, You're His. Which, of course, is a play off of that favorite of a very favorite old song, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours. The promise of love was in that song. That's what it's about. Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Forever Yours. Signed, Sealed, Delivered, we are forever His. He is forever our God, forever our Savior, and He will never let us go. We have been sealed in Him. Now, brothers and sisters, today we gather to reflect on the truths that are found in this passage of Scripture. Here, Paul unpacks part of God's eternal plan for you and I and the assurance that you and I have as believers and what that assurance, how that assurance should affect us. Let us now walk together for just a few moments and let's consider four things. The mystery, the inheritance, the security, and the glory that are all part of this picture of God as he has brought all things together in Christ, beginning with you and I. Now, regarding this mystery, brothers and sisters, I got to share something with you. Jesus Christ is real. Amen? He is not a cuss word. He is real. He is not a fable. He is real. He is probably the most attested to person in history that there has ever been, that actual historians have made mention of. He's an amazing figure in history because he is God in the flesh who pierced the darkness to come to this world and invaded our history so that he could invade mine and your present day. This telling of this story, though, about Christ and him crucified, about what Jesus did, do any of you know, I mean, throughout all sorts of branches of Christianity. Now, you know, we as Southern Baptists, traditionally we are called non-iconoclastic, meaning we don't believe in statues, we don't believe in, you know, beads and incense and things like that. We don't use things in our worship. There is no intermediary between God and man except Jesus Christ. Amen? So we don't need a chant. We don't need incense. We don't need statues. We don't need vicars or anyone else. Forgive me. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. But we don't need those stuff. And in fact, we know that God himself even said, look, don't create for yourself a graven image in the form of anything. But we know that many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord take that commandment and use it to make anything they want. How? I don't know. But nonetheless, many pictures, many sculptures have been made over the years that picture Christ on the cross, the crucifix. Does anybody know what the oldest representation of Christ on the cross is, the oldest one we've ever found? Probably not. Because much like what happened when we adopted the name Christian, we did it because the word Christian was originally an insult. The word Christian meant little Christ. And some people were saying, as the Christians were going around doing their good deeds, they said, oh, look at all the Christians out there. Look at all the little Christs out there being little Jesuses all around the world. And we Christians who aren't quick to take offense but are quick to claim the name of our Lord, we're like, hey, I like the sound of that. We're Christians. Let's go be little Christ in this world. Well, the oldest picture of Christ on the cross is actually called the Alexa Mono Graffito. And it's interesting because there is a picture that is scribbled on a wall outside of Rome, still standing to this day, of a guy holding up hands as if he's worshiping something. And then there is a cross that is before him with a man hanging on the cross with a donkey's head. And underneath it, it says, Alexa Mono worships his God. Alexa Mono was some local Christian, and somebody wrote on his wall an epitaph, if you will, to insult him for being a Christian, saying in no uncertain terms, you worship a donkey. You worship a you-know-what. There are a lot of people that have never met with God. There are a lot of people that do not understand God. Can I get an amen? There are a lot of people that look upon what you and I do with great disdain. They'll call themselves atheists, or they'll call themselves agnostic, or they'll say, don't label me, I just don't want part of your fairy tale. They say all of these different things. But brothers and sisters, just like in those songs that we sang, when peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou has taught me to say it as well with my soul. There is such beauty in the life of a Christian when they are able to draw near to their Lord. And there is such beauty in this world when God draws near to us and allows us to understand him just a little bit more. For the most of the world, what we do is a mystery. But for those who have drawn near, it is nothing short of the beauty and the truth of the Lord God Almighty. Your sins forgiven, pardoned, washed away, removed as far as the east is from the west, for the first time in your life standing pure before a living God and allowing him to take you by the hand and say, come with me, my sweet child, and let me lead you. And we just say, let's go. Let's go, Father. Amen. Now, Paul begins revealing that God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. This mystery, hidden for ages, is now revealed in Christ. God's plan is to unite all things, things in heaven and on earth, in Christ. In a world that feels divided and chaotic, we are reminded that God's purpose is restoration and unity through Jesus Christ. This is the big picture of redemption, a story where Christ's rule brings peace and order and joy to replace the storms in your life. I turn on the TV, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, an African-American fellow, the host of Family Feud. I turn on and I Thank you. I turn on the TV and I watch an interview with him where he says, I'm a Christian, but there's many ways to God and to heaven. I flip over to years past hearing Oprah Winfrey say, well, you know what, I grew up in the church, but one day I realized that the old rugged cross just wasn't enough for me. And now I heard her say recently, well, I am a Christian. I choose to worship God in a Christian church. But there are lots of ways to God, and you just go your own way. But the God that they profess to worship, that they then give the false testimony about, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. It's really hard on me when I hear somebody say that they worship Jesus, but then disagree with what Jesus says. The words of Jesus Christ are an eternal blessing. They are a richness to our soul. And the mystery of the scripture from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which over the last couple of years I've shared with you guys ad nauseum. I hope I use that term correctly. Sometimes I got to refresh my Latin. But a term that I have used, Genesis 3:15, about one day a descendant is going to come, is going to crush the serpent underfoot, all the way through to where this angel asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? God's eternal plan was unfolding throughout all time and history, and it came to perfection in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, the mystery was made true. He was God in the flesh. No substitutes, no others of any kind. He alone was God. He alone could save you of your sins. He alone can deliver your soul to heaven. And he has opened up that door for you and I to walk through. No holding back, no holding back. Amen? The mystery is that it's all about Christ. And those people that really struggle with this notion about it being about Jesus, there is only one thing that I can really say to you. Draw near, taste, and see that the Lord your God is good. Accept no substitutes. Amen? And he talks about this mystery as Christ brings us all together, that there's an inheritance in that. Paul reminds us that in Christ, we have received a spiritual inheritance in verse 11. And this inheritance is not earned. You cannot be good enough to get it. You can't be good enough to make God happy. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can only be forgiven enough. He works out everything in conformity with his will. As children of God, we are heirs to eternal life. We are heirs to his eternal promises and the riches of his grace. What a humbling thought. That God chose us, you and I, as Ephesians chapter 1 says, before the foundation of the world, to be his own. This is how loved you are, brothers and sisters. Before you ever were, God knew that there would be a you. And even if there was nobody else ever born, but only you, he still would have died on the cross for you because he loves you that much. And because of this great love that he has, that he endured so much on our behalf, we have received with this inheritance of him abiding with us through our lives, filling us with his presence, and giving us a home in heaven. We have a certain security that is attached to this promise and this inheritance. But how do we know this inheritance is secure? Paul tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit becomes your seal, your guarantee, your guarantor of that the promise that has been extended to you cannot be removed, cannot wash away. Brothers and sisters, when God wrote your name in the book of life, he didn't write it in pencil. Amen? And he didn't write it in ink either. He wrote it with his own blood. Something so precious as the very blood of our incarnate Lord should never be thought of as weak or namby-pamby. Can I get an amen? My God is bigger than all my foulness. And he's bigger than yours too. Amen? This seal of the Holy Spirit, it is a mark of ownership, showing that we belong to God. It is also a source of power and guidance as you and I navigate various canals in this life. When we turn left, when we turn right, when we face our opposition, when things are good, when things are bad, through it all, the Holy Spirit becomes this promise of Christ's ownership over you. Now, if I may, words you have heard me say before. Church family, this ownership is a big issue because all too often in our lives, we let our problems and our weaknesses take ownership over our own lives. And I need to share with you here and now, and please hear it loud and clear. You might have problems, but don't let your problems have you. There are things that are big and scary and wild in this world. And we face times of great challenge and persecution, each of us in our own way. We will have our seasons where we navigate difficult waters. But brothers and sisters, do it always with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves you more than you could ever imagine. How good it is to face the rapids with a qualified guide. How great it is to face a challenge with all the necessary safety gear you will ever need. How wonderful it is to go through a dark time in your life with the greatest counselor that there has ever been, who intercedes with groanings that words cannot express, who holds you daily in his loving arms. Brothers and sisters, you may have problems. Do not let your problems have you. They do not own you. Satan does not own you. You belong to Christ Jesus. Saved, sealed, delivered, you are his. And lastly, the glory. Finally, Paul reminds us of all of these blessings. And he says in verse 14, to the praise of his glory. God saved us. Not just for our benefit, but to showcase his glory to the world. We're reading from the book of Ephesians right now. It's called the Epistle to the Ephesians. Epistle, a fancy word for letter. You, brothers and sisters, are supposed to be God's living epistles, God's living letters to this world. You have not been saved only for thine own self, but you have been saved for God and his purposes. And as we get ready and as we turn to the business meeting in just a very short time, we will be reminded again, I assure you, because it's in my notes. In this coming year, we need to continue to move towards hands-on ministry. How blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, says the scripture. We need to be the feet of God around this world and in this community. We need to have feet that carry the hands of God into the ministry field to help do the things that need to be done. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, though, that is for you, and it is about the glory of God. There is a truism that God is everywhere at all times. There is never a place in this world where he is not. But anybody that knows the Lord knows that there have been special times in their life and in their places of being where what's often referred to as the Shekinah glory of God abides. That's just where you can feel his goodness and his love. And just like I say, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around are warmed up and it's glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once y'all know that song, amen? Once you've experienced... Amen, Cindy. So, this becomes that reality. You, as living letters of God's love, you have the opportunity to let the warmth of Jesus Christ that is within you turn into a full fire. You have the ability to allow yourself to be taken over with the glory of God. And know that it not just in your home, not just in your workplaces, not just in the grocery store, department store, wherever you might find yourself later on, but also right here in this church, brothers and sisters, if you allow yourself to fall in love with God truly, madly, deeply, signed, sealed, delivered, you belong to Him, you're going to find out something. You're going to have an effect on the people that sit to your left and to your right and before you and behind you. Because the love of God is compelling. The power of Christ compels you to draw nearer unto Him. And brothers and sisters, whenever I see somebody draw away from the love of God, I just simply got to say, why? Because sadly, it means somewhere in their life, their problems have taken ownership over them. May it never be. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord with gladness. Brothers and sisters, will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we have come before You here and now, and we ask You, dear God, to bless this moment. Father, there might be decisions in this room that need to be made to bring You glory. Father God, there might be someone here that's facing just a dark moment, a big trial, and they just need Your help. Father God, I ask You just to help them wherever they might be. And if they need personal prayer, let them come. Let us pray with them, dear God. If there's someone here, Lord God, that needs to ask Jesus into their heart, if there's someone here that needs to rededicate their life, if there's someone here that You've placed on their heart, that this is the church family for them and they need to join, if there's somebody here that says they want to be part of the next foreign missions team that this church sends, if there's somebody here that says, look, I want to work with the kids or with the youth or with the adults or whatever the capacity is, dear God, if there is a decision here and it glorifies You and Your holy name, then Father God, we take our lesson from verse 14. To Your glory, let this moment be dedicated. Father God, if there is a decision that brings You glory, let it be made. We love You, O Lord our God, and we pray these things in Your Son's most beautiful name. Amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?